Thank you for listening to this message from Five Stones Church. For more information, please visit us online at fivestonesga.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Five Stones GA. Thank you for partnering with us as we empower people and invade the culture.
Y'all are looking at me like my wife did when I put this shirt on today. She goes, "That's what you're wearing?" I said, "Yeah, that's what I'm wearing." And it's I'm gonna preach an illustrated message tonight. So y'all in the back, you may want to move forward a little bit so that you can see some of the stuff if y'all don't mind doing that. It's kind of weird to me because I've spent about 2 weeks preparing a message, and today about 12:42, God clearly spoke to me. And what He spoke to me, I'm like, "That's cool. That's really good. Good, God. I'm going to be able to use that somewhere down the line, one of the Fishers and Men's meetings or something like that." And He said, "No, it's for tonight." So I believe wholeheartedly that this is going to touch somebody, and if it just touches one, it encourages one, it's well worth it to me. So I'm going to ask y'all to turn to James 1:13, chapter 1, verse 13. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to open this up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I bow my head before You, Lord. I don't disrespect this office, this pulpit, this church at all. I take it as an honor. And I ask that You anoint my voice tonight, Lord. Let my words be Your words tonight, Father. Let me speak clearly. Let me speak clearly to the hearts that this message is intended for, Lord. And let them have ears to hear tonight, Father. I just thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. I thank Pastor for this opportunity, Father. And I just pray that these words from not only me, but the rest of these men just bless him, Lord. For I know it grieves his flesh, Lord, to give up this pulpit because he loves to preach Your gospel. So I just pray that You bless him, bless his congregation tonight, and bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start, like I said, James chapter 1, verse 13. There it begins, and it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' And God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man." It's very important for us to know when we deal with temptation that it's never of God. We have lots of things come into our lives, and we want to look up to the sky and say, "Yeah, I've got this. I've passed this test." But it's never from God. It's always a sly, sleek attack from our enemy. God cannot tempt man. He's always watching, and he's always waiting and willing to approve what we choose to do in our life. But he's never the one that tempts us. That can give him no glory, gets him no honor. And what we choose to do with our lives, that does. The devil is sneaky. Very, very sneaky. And this is very unorthodox. This is my goodies. This is stuff that my wife has fussed at me about the last couple of weeks because I've had plenty of time, and when I'm not doing homework or I wasn't preparing sermons and stuff like this, I've been in my shop, have I not? Just shut up, doors shut, I'm out there by myself, and I love doing stuff like this. And I thank God, if this message isn't for anybody else, I'm thankful he spoke it and reminded me how sneaky our enemy is. Out of this first scripture, we've talked about how God doesn't tempt man. I've brought with me a very expensive bait back in its day. The man that invented these still is a very good friend of mine. This is the bull shad. You know what the bull shad is? It's about $85. I've had this bait for probably 12 years. But now it just hangs on my wall. It's worthless. It's squeaky and rusty. You saw that rust in it? Doesn't hinge right. Doesn't bend right anymore. This is something that's hooked many, many a fish for me. It's been used for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. But it's got to the point where it's no good to me anymore. Because I can't fully trust this bait. I can't tie this bait on and entice a bite with it anymore. It doesn't have the proper attraction. It's old, it's rickety, it's rusty, it's wore out. And she's going to fuss at me after this because I spent $85, but this was before her time, so. You see that? It pops when I try to get it to hinge correctly. But it still has a purpose. It was meant to trick, to entice, to get a bite. And what the enemy likes, what he does, is a lot like I do. When it gets to the point where this has been used for a season, for a couple seasons, it worked for a while, but Micah doesn't. Does this tempt you? You're not interested? If I gave you this, you wouldn't take it?
I'd take it.
Well, you'd take it, but you wouldn't get any use out of it, right? Okay. You can have it when I'm done. And I'll actually fix it up for you. So let's move on to the next verse, shall we? Verse 14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed." We have to forbid being enticed. I'm a fisherman. That's why I wore this tonight. It's an illustration. I'm hoping if you're ever enticed, you'll remember this dummy that got up here in this fishing jersey and held some baits in his hand. But it says a man's drawn away by his own lust, right? Or fleshly lust. It's what he's after. But he used this in a season where I was attracted to it. But now I'm not. So what does he got to do? He really doesn't have to come up with anything new because he's attacking the weakness of my flesh. So he really can't come up with anything new because if he starts attacking another area, that's another area where I've kind of got a strong suit. Case in point, do you remember the first time we went to the beach? Okay, do you remember when we were on the beach and I kept looking at the sand? I was looking down, looking around the chair. We got up and we went to the pool. We're sitting at the pool. I'm up on my chair and I'm just looking down at the concrete. Do you remember this? And you asked me, you're like, why do you keep staring at your feet? Do you remember what I said? I'm protecting my eyes. Because when we're there, there's a lot of enticing things because women like to bear as much as they can bear and legally get away with it. So I have to fight to not be enticed. And this is kind of a teaching message tonight. It's not one of those just pin your ears back, but it's Wednesday night, you know. I was protecting my eye gates. Though it's something that I know I would never dishonor her that way. I do not struggle with that. I can get on the computer. I stay on the computer 12 hours. Those ads pop up. I'm shooting them down as fast as they pop up. I will not click on one. I don't struggle with that. But yet, if I look and I let it enter in here, this is what the scripture's talking about, and I let it enter in here to birth the thought, I've already conceived the idea, and therefore it hooks my heart. So I have to shut it down here, with my own lips. I have to be careful what I speak. We have to fight and forbid it. That's what I was doing, though she probably thought it was the weirdest thing ever. It was our first vacation together. And she's just like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I've got to protect my eyes. And she probably just thought I was being kind of religious or something. But to me, it was serious. To me, it's a daily walk that I have to walk with God and do that in multiple avenues in my life. Let's get into the scripture. This is what Satan likes to do. This don't work. It used to work. I used to bite it. I used to grip it. Okay? So he gets in his garage, he gets in the shop, and he says, okay, I know the weakness is still there. But I can't tempt them with what I used to tempt them with, so I'm going to bring him something that looks a little bit better. Does that look much better? You want that one, don't you? I know you do. It rattles everything. The swimming motion is perfect on it. It's got a beautiful paint job. It's pretty much like new. Very, very, very enticing. If I take that bait and I tie it on and I really cross a school of fish, we're talking about 25, 30 hungry fish, they're going to look and they're going to turn away because they've been hooked before. They've been enticed by something that looks like that before. But if I swim something across their face, Curtis, that looks like what they eat, and it's the right season. What didn't work in that season, he knows I'm in a new season. He knows my weakness and he knows how to entice me. If he can bring something that just looks a little nicer, looks a little more natural, looks a little prettier, I'm more tempted to, when I get done, I'm more tempted to stumble over this, Jason, than I am that. And that's what the enemy does, is he sits back when you think you're all victorious and he can't tempt me anymore. I've got victory over that. We all quote it, the devil's under my feet. He's defeated. He runs. We tell him to go. Devil, get out of my life. You're not tempting me with that anymore. I'm victorious over that. He runs. But where we make our foolish mistakes is to think that he's not going to go back and make another plan of attack and come back with something that looks a little bit better, a little bit sleeker. I got to get going. I'm going to get run out of time here. Let's go on to the next verse. Then when lust has conceived, now make point of this, this is conceived. This is after I've opened my eyes up, I've seen it, I've thought it. Now we're getting into conceiving the idea, which is pretty much sin in itself. Don't be foolish and think you don't need to repent just because you didn't act on it. If it got here, it's got to be repented about. You've got to get this cleaned up. The Bible tells us to renew our minds. And to renew our minds daily. We've got to repent at this point. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. So if it gets here, the Bible tells me if it gets here, I've already let it got so far that I'm within a razor's edge of taking action on it. So this is the important part of we've got to be ready. 2019, we've got to be ready because there's nobody that's immune from this. You can take our pastor, you can take pastor's family, pastor's wife, you can take our most seasoned saint in this church, and they're going to be tempted. The devil does not give up because he's after a purpose. He's after the people and the lives that you affect. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. When I really got into my walk with Christ, and I'm talking about 30s, my mother remembers when I was saved as a young boy. But there was a time there where I was chasing other baits. That was after other things of the world. I recommitted my life to Christ, and I began to actually get into the book for myself. And every time I read a scripture that talks about when we sin, we face death. And I'm going to be transparent. I had sin in my life after my recommitting to Christ. I still, to this day, have to lay down every night and repent for sins that I still have in my life. But every time I read a scripture like this, and something happened, I was always afraid I was going to die. And this is kind of goes back to the way that Daddy brought us up. Fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. I was always afraid I was going to die because it's what the Bible said. But what James is talking about here is not a fleshly death. If that was the price to pay for sin, that would be easy. What he's talking about here is a spiritual death, which is far, far worse than a human death. Because if I forfeit my spiritual life, and I'm going to say my spiritual life because I can't say my eternity, because we've all got an eternity one way or the other. You can't forfeit an eternity. We're all going to one place or the other. But what he's talking about here is spiritual death. You're like, okay, well, how can you portray that with some baits about spiritual death? Okay, well, we've already ruled out this is no good. I can't even take that fishing. Logan, I couldn't take that fishing. That's why it hangs on the wall. Because I hadn't taken the time to doctor that up to look like this. Like the time spent on this bait. But even so, if I tie this bait on and I go to the lake, what am I going to catch with it? So if a bass bites this, I'm going to reel it in. No. Because it's missing some hardware. This bait's no good because it has no hooks on it. What's the importance of the hooks? Well, see, I can go to the lake and I can tie this on and I can actually have fun with it. Because I like to reel these things up under the surface and say I'm practicing for an upcoming tournament. Me and Logan do this a lot. We'll tape up our hooks or put something on it where we can't actually catch the fish, but we can feel the bite. We can see the fish come up and be vicious with it and say, okay, we've got something going on here. We can come back to this on our tournament day and actually catch some fish here. We can get some bites. But the importance of this bait before we get into the hooks is because the devil likes to play the same game with us. And the reason he wants to play the same game with us is he'll throw this beautiful looking bait, something new, something lustrous, something just glamorous to our flesh. He'll throw it by us and get us to do the same thing. He'll get us to bite it again, and no consequence. That's right. Well, what does that mean for my spiritual life? It means I can go dabble in it once. I can go dabble in it again. And other than my human emotion and guilt being involved, there too later I'm going to be like, you know what? There was no consequence for that. So here he has tempted me with this new glamorous bait that I've bit with. And where he's really deceived me is not with the bait. But it's my own flesh saying, I can't be caught. I can get away with this. Nobody's going to know about this. I know the Bible says what's done in darkness will be brought to light, but I did it and nobody knows. God really hadn't punished me for it. I know I told him I'm sorry, but I just don't have those ill feelings and like I've just let all of heaven down. I think I'm going to go back and try that again. And this is where he gets us. Because we get this idea, this conceived notion that we can go back and do it again. But this time he's upgraded his hardware. So we dabble with it enough that we messed up. Now I'm going to walk back to y'all. I told y'all to move closer. And since y'all didn't move closer, I'm coming to you. I kind of had the idea tonight to pass these around, especially this one, just to see if it snagged somebody, get hooked in their shirt. And if it happened to anybody, it'd probably be Robert. In all my days of fishing, I've never been hooked. I've had little nicks and from working on baits and stuff like that, but I've never had a hook in me. I've pulled many, many, many of them out. I've put many of them in people. This is a big hook. We were out, and I'm not getting off topic, but we were out fishing one day, and Robert, like me and him fish together, he likes to stand up beside me. And I think it's because he doesn't want me being able to cast any further in front of the boat than him, so it's like a competition. Well, I reared back to throw one day, and I went to throw this thing, and my reel just goes, just this awful bird nest. And I'm like, what in the world? And Robert. I'm like, what? Right here. Yeah, that's what I said. And then I proceeded to heave, and he's like, get it out. And I was like, I can't. That's nasty. And so thankfully we had somebody else with us that got it out for him. And well, I just asked him, did it hurt worse going in or coming out? You didn't feel it too much. Well, normally it hurts more when it comes out than what goes in. And that's the pain we face. Because y'all really can't see it, but these things are needle sharp. I mean, just a little bit of pressure. They make them needle sharp for a reason. And that's for deep penetration. One of those little dabble-dos, one of those little mess-ups, and you're hooked. And you're like, okay, well, I've been set free before. I've got free before. I've done. These are different. They're not only needle sharp, but they have a barb that comes at a backwards angle from the needle of the hook, so that no matter how you shake, how high you jump, how much you scream, it's not coming out. Anybody want to try? Neither do I. But this is it. This is the deception. It's sneaky. It's to get you to dabble a little bit and be like, you know what? It's okay. This is good in God's eyes. He's not upset with me about it. And he may not be, because he's wanting you to learn something out of it. But once he's got you, what do? How do you get free? Is this a spiritual death? Is it the end? Let's finish the scripture and we'll talk about it. Because there's not but one more little bit verse. And I've stuck myself right there. Thank you. Okay. We went over, you know, the getting a hook, the spiritual death. And in the 16th verse, James says, do not err, my beloved brethren. What he's saying here is do not be deceived. Do not get to this point. You know what? Matter of fact, don't get to this point. Don't matter. If that don't matter, my eyes are on him, this shouldn't matter. I should be able to discern, nope, that's no good for me either. I'm happy, I'm content with all that he's blessed me with. If that don't work, then he ain't even going to try this. He's going to go back to this. Well, this didn't work. I'm going to have to do something better. I don't ever have to worry about the hooks. Lord, I knew that was going to happen. He says, do not be deceived. Sin is the ruin of all that is good. I did that really fast. So I think what I'm going to do, I feel like when preachers preach this, that we always look at sin as drinking, drugs, the bad stuff. Like I said, there's more sin up here in our minds. Enough sin up here in our minds, just in this church, that he could shut this church down. Because we're called to be pure. We're called to be united. We're called to be holy. I don't think we repent enough. I don't. For bitterness, anger. Anywhere he can get a hook, he's going to get a hook. I thank God all the time for my deliverance from alcohol. Still. And I'm glad I don't struggle with it. We kept a beer bottle in the fridge forever. I kept a beer bottle in my fridge forever. And she always freaked out. What if someone comes over and sees that? And I'm like, it's my trophy. Because when I would get angry, when there was other baits that he would swim by me, he knew alcohol I had victory over by the King of Kings. So now he has to start working on, let me see if I can get him back to that angry guy he used to be, that guy that used to lash out. So if I can get him to bite this, I might get him hooked back on that. So I always kept a beer bottle in my fridge, and I don't think she ever really knew the reason until towards the end. But anytime I would get mad, I'd get stressed out, I was just bitter and angry, and this little thing's just slapping me in the face, he would always whisper, one or two of those would chill you out. But what he's really saying is, this is slapping me in the face. One or two of those would chill you out. I always kept that beer in my fridge so that every time I was in a mood like that, I can open that fridge and see that thing, and it remind me what God did for me. That way, I could do away with all this and say, nope, don't need it, ain't happening. In fact, Lord, give me peace. Grant me peace. I don't want to be angry. I repent for it. I let it get too far. We always think sin is an issue where somebody falls off some sort of wagon. But in reality, there's so many forms of it. Like I said, anger, bitterness. He wants us to deceive us in so many areas of our lives. He wants to deceive. And if y'all think this childish, I'm sorry, but I just felt like this was, I'm telling you, I had something else prepared, and I just felt like this was for somebody tonight. He wants to deceive not only our flesh, but our promises. There's deception in your fast. I mean, God forbid I brought in here a bag full of McDonald's and preached over that. I'd really had some people sweating in. Double cheeseburger, large fries, a Coke, not a Diet Coke, the real Coke. But he wants to deceive everything that's of you. Because it's not just about your soul, it's about your destiny and your purpose. He wants to deceive your promises. Jan, every time I see you, do you know what I do? I pray for you all the time. I always look to see what kind of shoes you're wearing. Mm-hmm. Because it was prophesied over you that one day you would run the church. And that was in the old church. And I don't think that prophecy changes because we're in the new church. But he wants to deceive that word. In fact, I want to give you revelation why he wants to deceive that word. If you're there, and your promise is there, that's the prophesied word, you wonder, well, why do I have to run? Why was it prophesied I run? Why wouldn't it just prophesied that I'd be healed? It's because there's a deceiver between you and your promise. And he's telling you, you can't. You will lay in bed tomorrow, possibly even the next day, because your knees will be swollen and you'll be sore that you can't move. He's lying to deceive you from receiving your promise. So when you get ready to run, it's not just because you're running around here because you're able to. God's going to heal you whether you can run or not. It's to run over the deceiver that lies to you, that tells you you can't. So when you get ready, I'm running with you. I know Pastor's going to run with you. But you have to remember that that voice that keeps telling you you can, that voice that keeps telling you if you do this, it's going to hurt you more than it's going to help you. You have to run over that voice to get to your promise. That's why it was prophesied over you that you run the church. I just got on a rabbit trail right there. Nah. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. I have not. It's like that word was for me personally. I'm serious. I look every day you walk in here. I look to see what kind of shoes you're running, because I'm. It don't matter what. If I got cowboy boots on, I'm gonna run to church with you. Because I've prayed for it. I've sowed seed towards that. And I'm ready for it. I just want you to remember, because when you go to do it, he's going to be standing there in the middle. He's going to say, now, Jan, if you do this, it's going to hurt you more than it's going to help you. And that will make you run just that much harder, because you need to trample him and get him under your feet. I don't know where to go from here, man. That really messed me up. I want to open the altars. And you're going to say, why in the world would you get up there and preach a message about fishing baits and all this stuff and open the altars? Because if there's one in here that's hooked, whether it be drugs, alcohol, nicotine, lying, anger, bitterness, sadness, fear, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. There's one. One and one alone that you can bring that to and him remove that hook. Because this battle, when you get this, if nobody's ever had one of these in you, and I've never had one naturally, but I've had one spiritual. It is a fight. You're pulling, he's pulling, you're pulling, he's pulling. But when you're pulling, it's not really you pulling, because there's somebody behind you that's pulling. And he says, that's my child. That's my son. You're not going to win him over. I still got plans for him. You're being pulled both directions. But if you'll bring it to him, he'll reach down, unbutton it, says, welcome home, child, you're free.
Thank you for listening to this message from Five Stones Church. For more information, current events, and the latest news, connect with us online at fivestonesga.com or on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at fivestonesga. We would love for you to be a part of a service here live. Join us every Sunday at 11 a.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. right here at 1358 Sixes Road in Canton, Georgia. Thank you again for partnering with us as we empower people and invade the culture.